When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Welcome to part two of our conversation with Michael Salerno about called to demons. Have you ever been into a situation where, you know, because obviously you took that leap into this and having this drive from initially watching that episode of A Haunting to going, I want to be a demonologist. You know, that's a very heavy thing to take on. Was there any point where as you learned more and more about this and kept digging deeper and deeper, and of course you have the drive, you want to help people. That's your ultimate goal. But was there ever any moment as you kind of dug deeper into this and started getting involved in it where you said, I'm kind of scared for my own safety here and questioned if this is something you truly were prepared to handle as you learned to become a demonologist?
Actually, the first real demonic case that I went to try and help with, I was scared to death. That right there, that I was going to deal with a real demon for the first time, I went and I knelt in front of my priest and I asked, please bless me. And I broke into tears. That's how powerful that was, that this was real and this is what I was going to do. Mm-hmm. I actually had to stop for a couple years because it was starting to affect me and my family. We had a real bad string of bad things that happened and things breaking and total, like, almost depression going on. And I said, I got to get out of this. And unless God sends me another message, I don't think I should be doing this anymore because bad things are happening. I mean, I wasn't having a haunting at my house, but I was being oppressed around me and I just had to stop. And then I got the call back.
When you said you were being oppressed around you, I mean, can you be a little bit more specific as to what were some of those things that really made you say, I got to take a break from this?
My finances fell apart. I lost my job. My appliances were breaking left and right. It was like everything that bad could happen was happening. And I said, maybe I got to step away from this. And at the same time, I felt like I was also had a string of cases where I wasn't able to help the people. They weren't ready to help themselves. I can help and show people how to fight these things. But once I leave, they have to be able to maintain that course that they're on to keep it away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because these things could come back. And when they come back with a fury.
Yeah.
So if you are asking God to help you with something like this, you're going to have to make some changes in your life, too. Because mm-hmm. whatever brought this in, it's going to be pissed off that it got sent away. So I had some that came back. The people didn't make the changes that we asked them to do. And I just felt like I wasn't winning anymore. Not winning, but not helping.
Mm-hmm.
So I took a break. I had to stop for 2 years. Oh, even Eric and I would get in a fight. We didn't talk for a year. I mean, that's my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so these things can affect you. You might not notice it right away that it's demonic, but too much of it. And then when I stopped, it alleviated. It was weird.
It's not always going to present itself as a cross turning upside down in a wall or you know, saying things like that. But it will present itself in some ways that just kind of look mundane, of just a string of bad luck or this or that. But at some point you have to look and go, this is never me. This has never happened like this before. What,
right.
You know, what's the factor that has changed to make that happen? It's very bizarre, when those sort of things happen, and it really does make you take a step back and go, tell me what did bring you back? What was, you know, because obviously you were finding some peace, some respite from all of these things. What brought you back into it?
Well, actually, I had done an A Haunting episode in that hiatus, that 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
One of the cases that Eric and I did, and I had the producer had a similar faith beliefs in what I had, and we got along and we stayed in touch. And I was on vacation in Maine, and we were in an area in northern Maine that has basically no cell signal at all, none. And for the whole week, you know, the kids were complaining because they couldn't go online and all kinds of stuff. We couldn't even make a phone call out. But the night before we left, my cell phone rang. And I picked it up, and it was that producer. And she said, Michael, I just want to let you know that I have a show that they need your help on one of the cases because it's demonic. Would you be willing to help with the show? And I said, well, I don't know. I'm not really doing it. Let me talk it over with my family. And I'll see. I'll call you when I get out of here because I don't even know how I have a signal. And she said, okay. So on the way home, we talked it over with my family. And I told them, I said, listen, I have this opportunity to go and do a TV show, but it's to help someone that's being affected by demons. I said, should I do this again? And my wife said, she's funny. She loves the story. She's afraid of it, but she loves the story. She says, I don't think you should have gotten out of it to begin with. I said, okay, well, all right. And how about you kids? And my daughter said, I think that's what you're supposed to be doing anyway, Dad. And my son said, are you going to be able to help someone? And I said, yeah, I think I really can. And he said, then I'm on board too. You could do it again. So I made the decision that I was going to go and help. And that's where I met Steve Shippey. I don't know. Do you know who Steve Shippey is?
I recognize the name, but I don't know him personally.
Okay. He is a rapper from Michigan, mm-hmm. who his rapper name is Prozac.
Okay.
And he's also a paranormal investigator and documentary filmmaker. Mm-hmm. He has a bunch of movies on Amazon Prime, and he had a show last summer called Haunting in the Heartland.
Okay.
And he actually just did the Ed Gein shock doc.
Okay.
He was the investigator in that. I don't know if you saw it.
I think I did see that one. So, yes, that's why I recognized it, because I did watch that.
So I was flown out to Iowa to help Steve Shippey on a case that he was in. And we actually were able to help the family. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Sorry. So that's how I got back in. Then I was talking to my friend Dan Rivera, and he said, why don't you come up to the church and I'll introduce you to Father Rodriguez. I said, sure. So I went up and I met Father Rodriguez, and Father Rodriguez and I got along very well. And he told me he will help me until the day I die. So, and he's an exorcist. So I said, perfect. He's a great guy. And then Dan invited me to be part of the New England Society for Paranormal Research, mm-hmm. NESPR.
Yeah.
And what an honor.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes. I couldn't ask for a bigger honor than to be invited into that legacy group.
Sure.
I mean, because basically that's what they are. They're a Warren legacy group. They're trying to carry on Lorraine and Ed's traditions.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great thing. And I'm very happy to be included in it. Not too many people get that opportunity or privilege to work with these people.
Sure.
So that's what brought me back.
Let me ask you this. Even when an individual or a family follows the plan that is outlined by an exorcist or a demonologist, and they are doing everything that they can, they're not diverting from it and, you know, letting things back in, is there cases where this force is so strong that it is, in reality, it is going to plague them and follow them throughout the rest of their lives, and there's no really truly getting away from it, maybe keeping it more at bay? I mean, is there ever times like that, or is there always a foolproof way of getting something that dark out of a family or out of an individual's lives?
It's actually God's decision, ultimately. He has let this happen for one reason or another. And we don't know what his reasons are. I can't ever think to understand God as a human being. But I do believe that there are some that do plague people for their whole lives, even though they do try and live the righteous and the religious and have Jesus in their heart. I do believe that sometimes that does happen. Look at the Annalise Michelle case.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was a woman. She ended up dying. It won. This is a spiritual battle, and sometimes battles rage on forever, and sometimes you lose a battle. I can't claim that I do anything other than ask God to help and follow what he has said that he would do for us. And follow some of the Bible, well, not some of them, but the Bible, mm-hmm. and live my life the way I can, the best way I can. We all make mistakes. We all make sins. We all do things that are unpleasing to God. The thing is you have to forgive yourself. You have to ask for forgiveness, and that will alleviate a lot of things. Sometimes you never get to the root cause. It could be a curse that we could not figure out.
Mm-hmm.
for some reason this happened. It could be a generational curse. This thing could have been affecting a family for generations.
Yeah.
So there's no foolproof way, but I do know that people that are affected, if they can pray, it really helps. The rosary really helps keep the demons at bay. If they're attached to somebody, sometimes exorcisms, you need 4, 5, 6, 7 of them. Each one can weaken the demon, but there's no guarantee that it's going to work. Plus, you know, the person has to be on board 100%.
Yeah.
They're not under possession 24/7.
No.
Okay. So there's times they have to actually, you know, let you know, I really want this thing gone.
Yeah.
If they don't really want it gone, it's not going anywhere.
Sure.
Right? Because it can become like an addiction, having all this attention from this entity.
Sure. Can a demon, when we're talking about it, a demon that is a soul, you know, singular demon that is tormenting someone, can that demon torment more than one person at a time, or is it like, you know, it's just there, it's in that, it's focus is that person for now, and it's not, you know, jumping around from person to person?
Oh, it can affect more than one person at a time. It could jump to a different person,
mm-hmm,
easily. It could jump into an investigator and then back to the person. It could be affecting two or three people in a home,
mm-hmm,
and leaving one alone just so that one thinks everybody else is crazy.
Yeah.
So it can move around. It's going to go for the easiest target,
mm-hmm,
but sometimes it will lash out at other people.
When something like that is exercised from a person, I mean, you're never truly killing it, correct? You're not truly just, you know, it's gone and banished forever. It's simply moving on. Is it just moving on to another vessel that it finds? Or what is the belief system on that?
Okay. Well, you cannot destroy a demon. It's a eternal spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You cannot kill it. But basically what the exorcism does is it casts this thing out of the person or the house. And the prayer pretty much tells it to go to the foot of Jesus and receive its judgment. Now, Jesus isn't going to kill this thing either, okay, because it's immortal. You can't kill a demon. But Jesus could give it its punishment. It could be allowed to roam back in the world. These things, even the end of the St. Michael prayer, it says, protect us from the demons that roam the earth seeking the ruin of souls. It's going to look for its next victim. It only has a certain amount of time before the Bible says it loses to Jesus in the rapture and Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to try and get as many souls as it can before that, because once that happens, it gets bound for 1,000 years, according to the Bible. So it's going to roam around and it's going to try and devour whatever it can. And it's looking for an invitation. And invitations go out all the time.
When we think of invitations, you know, oftentimes we'll think of things like somebody using a Ouija board, you know, kind of the obvious things of that nature.
That one's obvious.
But other than the obvious, I mean, what are some things in cases where you've studied it, learned about it, and we're like, oh, wow, this was the invitation and this is what brought it in? I mean, what are some of those things that people don't think about as being invitations for something, a demon, to come into someone's life?
Well, invitations can range from just a severe sin, a mortal sin. Say you killed somebody or you committed adultery or whatever. That can leave an opening that is considered an invitation, okay? Because it's an extreme sin. we're not supposed to communicate with spirits. Now, investigators do this all the time. Every time a person uses a recorder and goes in and says, is there anyone here that wants to communicate? I want to hear from you. That is the same thing as using a Ouija board, except it's digital. It's an invitation. Now, a lot of investigators will argue with me on this. If you want to do it, that's fine. I don't do it because it's an invitation. You are inviting whatever's there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what's there. And even if it tells you it is an innocent, sweet little girl that died out in the street, you don't know that. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's what happened with Annabelle. I'm just this lonely little girl. Can I inhabit this doll? Oh, sure. Go ahead and look what happened there. It's an invitation just to communicate. If you take part of any kind of rituals, I mean, that's obvious. Sometimes it could be as simple as someone giving you something that's cursed.
Mm-hmm.
There's been people that have gone to attractions, say, in Salem, Mass., and someone may hand you something that looks, you know, they're outside of a store and they're advertising for their store and they might give you something that someone might have actually put a curse on that, that item. And you bring that home and all of a sudden things start happening. Well, I didn't make an invitation, but like I said before, witchcraft and the like causes demonic activity.
Does it make you cautious going to an antique store?
sometimes, yeah. But you know what? I think that I have the wherewithal to be able to hopefully get rid of something that has an attachment.
Mm-hmm.
I have that knowledge and that, but it happens. People bring something back, and it may not be a demon. It may just be a human spirit that was attached to that.
Sure.
I usually don't handle the human spirit cases because a prayer isn't going to upset a human spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't get called to Casper the Friendly Ghost that's doing your laundry for you. I get called for the ones that people are getting scratched and bad things are happening.
Mm-hmm.
So I usually don't get involved in human spirit cases.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it could be a combination because a demon can't hold a human spirit to do its bidding. So it gets confusing sometimes, but it does happen.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Michael Salerno. A big thank you to him for joining us on the program and sharing his experiences with us today. Until next time, for all of us at The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.